This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, using robots for positive changes. First up, the healthcare connection started in 1967 in a four-room apartment with volunteer doctors, nurses, and staff. Originally known as the Lincoln Heights Health Center, it was the first community health center in Ohio. And today it's grown to 10 neighborhood sites around Hamilton County, serving more than 18,000 patients each year. The organization's chief executive officer and founder, Dolores Lindsay, is one of the longest-serving CEOs in the country. Here to discuss the Healthcare Connection's history and plans for its 50th anniversary are Dolores Lindsay, outreach and enrollment manager Charles Wood, and former chief operating officer Brenda Coleman, who now serves as a consultant for the Healthcare Connection. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Dolores, Charles, and Brenda, thank you so much for being here this afternoon. It's good to see everybody.
Thank you for inviting us.
Dolores, tell us what led you to start the center way back in 1967.
Well, it was a community effort started in the out in the neighborhood. The fact that there were no primary care physicians, dentists in the community led to a community-wide effort to establish services on a routine or regular basis.
So, and you were in your 20s at the time. I think you had a child, and this was just one of those. You were part of a project, I think, where you were talking about what did the community need.
So I had 4.5 children at the time.
Okay, I stand corrected.
At the time, I was a young mom, a wife and mom, with, as I said, 4.5 children. I had my older daughter was in kindergarten at the time and came home with a paper from the school where we had been, the PTA had been invited to a community-wide meeting to talk about needs and concerns of the community at the time. And I was asked to represent our PTA at the community-wide meeting, which was happening during the day. Many of the women who were members of the PTA were working and couldn't attend. So I agreed to do that, and the rest is kind of history now.
Yeah. And if I understand right, you started with a $10,000 grant from Lincoln Heights and a handful of volunteers to get this going?
The $10,000 grant from the city of Lincoln Heights. The mayor was so invested in this effort that he made those dollars available for us to establish the services in a four-room apartment house. I think we were open 2 days a week or something, 2 days a week, and it expanded over time, but it was just 2 days a week.
About how many patients were you seeing back then? Do you?
Well, I think we were probably seeing maybe 10, 12. It depended if it was prenatal day or pediatrics. If it was pediatrics, we saw hundreds because of the pediatrician who was there at the time. I wouldn't say hundreds, but it felt like it many times that she was the well-known and well-liked and revered. So you would, Brenda, might have a...
Well, that's when I first actually came in contact with the health center. I actually worked for Hamilton County Head Start. And we were told, I was a health services coordinator, and we were told to take the children for their physicals to a neighborhood center if there was one in the community. So that's when I met Dolores Lindsay. So we go way back, 1970. And I took the children there for physicals. And what was interesting was I had been a nurse formerly at one of the hospitals. And I was in school. And I went in, and there was this lady who was, well, she was late. She's always late. She ran in the door. And we introduced ourselves. The physician was late. She was late, too. Mm-hmm. Everyone was trying to do so many things at the same time. The doctor's working at children. She said, hurry up and get there to the health center. Dolores is running around trying to raise money. She's still trying to do. But what was interesting was I came in with the children, and I said, well, can I help? So what did I do? I ended up weighing the children, taking their temperatures. They taught me how to do hematocrits, and then the physician came in. So after I even began working there back in 1970, really. And it was a four-room apartment with a few little chairs. The dental department was in the basement. You went down the back steps with one dental chair. There was upstairs was some rooms, some exam rooms. I think there were.
There was a physician office and the nurse's office.
Right.
And the bathroom.
And you get hooked in because you could see the caring, the enthusiasm, the wanting to make things better for the community. And that's, I think that's, I got hooked in then. I really did. And so I guess that was my entry to the community health coming out of a hospital environment. Big change.
Yeah. Charles, talk about what the healthcare connection is like now. How big has this become?
Well, currently we serve around 18,000 patients. We have 10 locations. There are three locations where we serve medical, provide medical services, Lincoln Heights, Mount Healthy, and Forest Park. Forest Park is pediatrics only. Mount Healthy is a full-service medical facility, and Lincoln Heights is a full-service medical as well as dental facility. It's not unusual for us to see several hundred patients a day now between the three sites. And then we also have two school-based sites, Princeton and Heritage Hill. And then we have several behavioral health wellness sites as well. How many is that, Ms. Lindsay?
There are four.
All right, four.
But we're co-located with them, so we provide the medical care to severely mentally ill populations in with Talbert House, with GCB, Greater Cincinnati Behavioral, and other behavioral health sites. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Brenda. Go ahead.
CCHB was another one of the behavioral health sites as well.
CCHB, yeah.
And again, the our service area is primarily outside the city of Cincinnati, but within Hamilton County, although we do see individuals that come from Butler, Warren, Claremont, based upon the access or their relationship with the physicians at our facilities.
Now, this is called a medical home. Is that the term for it, Dolores?
Yes.
Patient-centered medical home.
Patient-centered medical home. What does that mean exactly?
So—
Go right ahead, Ms. Lindsay.
Go ahead, Charles.
Patient-centered medical home means that we want folks to be invested and have a relationship with us and know that they can receive preventive health care, get consistent feedback. If they have chronic illnesses, that they're monitored and we're able to basically keep them healthy and to the extent that they'll stay out of the emergency room, which is the most expensive setting for receiving treatment, and to keep them from reaching a crisis situation. We're talking about diabetes, high blood pressure, depression, obesity. Those are the primary things that we look at, as well as asthma. That's another hot topic.
Dolores, tell us about who you're serving.
Who we're serving? excuse me. So we serve the cultures. Is that what you're? What do you mean when you say who? I'm sorry.
Who are your patients?
So our patients come from 23 of Hamilton County's 44 political jurisdictions. So we're serving persons within northern Hamilton County of 23 political jurisdictions. That's Sharonville, Lincoln Heights, Lachlan, Redding, Woodlawn, Mount Healthy, the northern and northwest part of the county. That's where patients come to us from. Is that, is that what you're looking
for? Yeah. How is the center funded?
How is it funded? So the center is funded in part with federal and state dollars and funds that we can raise through donations as well as foundations. The major part of our funding, however, is that we bill for services and we receive payment for those services through the Medicaid program, through Medicare, through insurance, et cetera. The largest payer is the Medicaid program.
513-419-7100, if you'd like to join us in our conversation about the Healthcare Center on its 50th anniversary. And in those 50 years, what kinds of things has the center achieved?
Well,
it's so much. Now, to think about a center that started in a four-room apartment to now 10 sites, that in itself is a major achievement.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to mention that patients come from, I think Charles mentioned, all these different other communities, even outside of Hamilton County. And I think what's been achieved by the health center really now is being recognized as being a credible quality care deliverer. In the old days, it was looked upon as being, quote, i.e., a clinic for poor people. What the Healthcare Connection now is perceived as is a very viable entity in the healthcare arena. They are to serve all people, regardless of their income or their race or ethnicity. And for patients that are in a medical home, as Charles mentioned, the importance of involving the patient in their care is the key piece.
Right.
And I think they've really achieved a lot. Whenever there has been a need arisen, they've jumped on the bandwagon. The behavioral health partnership is one example. Whenever there's a need, the Healthcare Connection has responded, not caught up in, well, we only can serve this group. And then doing what they need to do to make their environment welcoming to all groups. That's a major accomplishment, in my opinion.
And another major accomplishment is that from the four-room apartment house, we went to a community center in 1973 that had the Head Start program. Part of the Head Start program was there. There was an outpost of the Department of Human Services. There was an outpost of the library and the Department of Unemployment at the time, Bureau. But then we went from there after about 20 years to a brand new facility that we were able to raise funds for and grants through the federal and state governments to build a new facility in 2004. We went into a brand new facility where we are currently operating, where it provides medical, dental, and behavioral health at the Lincoln Heights facility. So that was a major accomplishment. If we look at where we came from, to where we are today, just in Lincoln Heights, but then to look at the expansion of services in the county, the communities that we serve. That was major.
And I think the ability of the Healthcare Connection and the understanding, the recognition, how important it is to partner with others if you want to really see a difference in the healthcare in our community and seeing improvements. And that's something that started way back in the early 70s. Mm-hmm. And that has just grown over the years. And I think a lot of that has to do with, again, that the leader, I have to say this, the leader has never forgotten the mission. And oftentimes, you know, mission comes the low end and it becomes, oh, we need to make more money. Oh, we can't spend that kind of money. But she could always step back and say, what is the need?
Mm-hmm.
If we can do it, we can do it. And I think that's a major accomplishment for any organization, when the leader can say, don't forget the mission.
So to that point, I know Charles is trying to get in, but to that point, we do appreciate appreciating the fact that you have friends like Brenda Coleman and others who see the need and will rise to the occasion to help you meet that whatever the goal is that you're trying to attain, and a supportive board over the years, even though sometimes they thought I was going over the top, they would either pull me back and go over the cliff, pull me back and say, yeah, I agree, but this, we need to look at things. And, you know, usually when I come up with an idea, I will talk to Brenda. I talk to Charles a lot more than when he was on the board, chair of the board and so forth. But I still talk to him today because I think he is a voice of reason and he can help bring me back. But Brenda always looks at the practical stuff and will say things that sometimes I don't want to hear. But I do try to listen. And I think Charles can speak to some of that as well.
Charles, hold off on that. We'll take a quick break here. We'll come back and we'll let you respond to what Dolores just said.
Okay.
We'll continue our conversation. You can join us 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Here to discuss the Healthcare Connections history and plans for its 50th anniversary are Dolores Lindsay, who's the CEO and founder of the Healthcare Connection, Outreach and Enrollment Manager Charles Wood, and former Chief Operating Officer Brenda Coleman, who now serves as a consultant for the Healthcare Connection. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Dolores, Brenda, Charles, what are the big health problems that you see today? What's the biggest obstacle to getting people to lead a healthier lifestyle?
Well, one of the issues is consistent health coverage, and that's the thing that I've been primarily involved with. Through the Affordable Care Act, we had an opportunity to really increase the number of Medicaid-covered patients that we could see. That really has helped our bottom line, and it's added to the strength and foundation of the viability of our health center. We have always treated individuals who are uninsured, underinsured, and folks that have commercial insurance. But with the expansion of Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act, it has really allowed us to increase our ability to get paid. We do a sliding fee scale for individuals who do not have insurance, and that's really related to the fact that we have quite a bit of foreign-born individuals that come to our center. We have a full-time African who speaks Arabic, Fulani, French, because of the number of Africans that come to our health center. We also have a considerable Hispanic population. To that end, we have bilingual individuals in our dental department. I have a staff member who is bilingual in Spanish that sees a great number of Hispanics. And then we also have quite a few Asians, and then we see people from Uzbekistan, Russia, you name it. There's a wide variety of foreign-born individuals that come through the doors of the Healthcare Connection.
That's a very wide and diverse group of people you're serving. Dolores, what are some of the changes that you've seen in the 50 years in the healthcare industry?
In healthcare in general?
Yeah.
Some of the changes have clearly been a focus on primary care versus sick care. What we have seen is the attempt to get, as Charles mentioned, people in care. That's one of the proponents of the
Affordable Care Act. Care,
patient-centered
medical home.
Yeah.
Is to encourage people to take better care of themselves, to find a place where they would regularly go for care. So if you think about it, those people who have never have often used the emergency room as their primary care source, showing up in the emergency room with an earache for children primarily, or oral health toothache or what have you, has been reduced somewhat, not only because of our health center, but health centers across this country have made a major attempt
to a major impact, had a major impact on the reduction of the cost of care in the emergency room, which, you know, all of us pay more because the insurance companies are going to spread that loss if they show up without a means of caring or pay for their care. So the major impact that I have seen, and I think the other two can attest to this, is people encouraging them and seeing some results of that. People coming for their regular office visits to address whatever the issue would be, as Charles said, diabetes, chronic diseases, hypertension, and those kinds of challenges.
So by increasing access, you're helping people to lead a healthier lifestyle.
Increasing access and that people can receive care closer to home. So when we think about it, we started all those years ago, many of these communities that we serve did not have physicians even in those communities, either whether private practice or what have you. Now they have an access point to come to our site. But we also see, the other thing that I've seen is more increased in the urgent care. And a lot of urgent cares in and around town. And so, again, trying to help people understand that urgent care is not primary care. So that's an education that we seek to try to help patients understand.
And that relationship with their physician is so critical.
It is.
I mean, I think all of us are the same. We like to be able to pick up the phone and call our doctor and get in for an appointment if we're sick. We don't want to be told be on hold for a half hour. We don't want to be told to come in and I only have an appointment for a week. But you want to go someplace where they know you. They're willing to make allowances to get you into care. And that removes a big barrier. I mean, it's happened to me. I changed physicians because of that. That not communicating. And I think when you have a staff who communicates with the patient and helps them understand what behavioral changes will make them better, when the barrier of Charles talked about of not having to worry about, I don't think I can afford to go to the physician today, next week, because that may impact my budget for the week.
That's very
critical. I mean, so we alleviate some of that, not having to make that decision to forego maybe some food because I have to go to the doctor and I have to pay. So having affordable care is a big one here. But that behavior change is a slow process. I can attest to that. I don't exercise the way I should, and I know it's important. But if I keep hearing that message sooner or later, and I trust the individual who's giving me that information, I may begin to now make a change. But that relationship with that physician and support staff, not just the physician, is very critical. If I need to be referred someplace for specialty care, I know someone's going to follow up and to ensure that I get there. Again, a family, patient-centered medical home, a home is a family. And I think that's what the healthcare connection brings to the patients. It's a family situation there.
So you're celebrating 50 years this month. What about the next 50 years? 100th anniversary, Dolores?
I'm sure that within the next, by the 100th anniversary, I'll be in the Great Health Center in the sky, looking down and hoping that people carry on what we've tried to initiate and to start and kept in place through many trials and tribulations over these 50 years, because it has not been easy to provide a service to a population that didn't have the means and chose not to come seek care because they couldn't afford it, to build relationships and trust with funders and our legislators over all of that time. has been a major part of our success. To build relationships, to keep relationships going with people like Brenda, like Charles, and like others who were part of the institution and have gone on to do other things or just simply retire and travel all over the world. But when you call on them, they are typically willing and able to come and support because they remembered what we were attempting to do. So, and I speak for the Healthcare Connection, but I also speak for community health centers around this country. In Cincinnati, there are a number of health centers in Cincinnati, Greater Cincinnati, who are really attempting to do the same thing that we are doing, and they're faced with oftentimes obstacles, but they rise above it. And when you look at it nationally, what we bring to the table is not only delivery of health care, but jobs. We contribute to the economy in the neighborhood or in the community or in the state. We employ not only those people that we directly employ, but those people who provide services for us. Is employed. So it is a reciprocal kind of business that we operate in. We're at one time we were looked upon, community health centers were looked upon as takers from them. But when you realize that were it not for ourselves being in these communities, there would be X number of people perhaps unemployed. Or perhaps not receiving the benefit.
Or not even healthy enough to work.
That's healthy.
True.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So who wants to tell me about the event that's coming up to celebrate the 50th anniversary? Dolores, would that?
That would be, what you're just saying, Dolores, it takes to the theme of your anniversary.
It takes a village.
It takes a village.
Yeah.
It didn't take what? It took a village to make all this happen.
So
Mrs. Lindsay speaks, I did want to get in, speaking of employment, we're the largest employer in Mount Healthy, frankly. And I do want to let you know that we are attempting to build a new location, a new healthcare facility in Mount Healthy. We haven't had the groundbreaking yet, but we're well on our way to establishing that. And I did want to get that out there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Charles. That's true. Again, it is that village because the city of Mount Healthy has been very welcoming and really wants us to stay there, and they helped to find the land for us to build this new center. And we've tried three times to raise the funds to get this done. We finally have gotten most of the money that is needed to do the bricks and mortar. So we're in the process of designing the new facility. We hope to have a groundbreaking sometime in early spring.
Okay. And then the gala that's coming up.
The gala is kind of the culmination of all of this, and sometimes I get very emotional about it because I don't know that I believed, I don't think I knew what it would look like 50 years from once we started. We actually started October the 8th, 1967. We couldn't get the 8th at the convention center to do this celebration, so we went the second week. So we're honoring some of the early responders, if you will, people who helped.
Some of your first volunteers that helped you out.
Some of the people who conceived the idea. While I'm listed as the founder, I'm one of the founders. I'm one that is still involved in this effort. And I'm very proud that I've been able to do this and be able to give back to them or at least recognize them at this event.
So what's the date and the time for this?
It's October the 14th.
Okay.
2017 at the Sharonville Convention Center.
Okay. Well, Dolores and Charles and Brenda, thank you for joining us this afternoon and telling us about the Healthcare Connection.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Healthcare Connection founder and CEO Dolores Lindsay, Outreach and Enrollment Manager Charles Wood, and former Chief Operating Officer Brenda Coleman, who now serves as a consultant for the Healthcare Connection.